Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the B20 Summit, and what was the involvement of one local business leader? Let's go in-depth with Mary Andringa with the Vermeer Corporation. So, Mary, I understand you were at the B20 Summit in September. Can you tell us what the B20 Summit is?
Yes, thank you. The B20 was organized in 2010, and it's really a group of business leaders who make recommendations on certain policies to the G20 leaders. So usually the B20 ending meeting coincides with the G20 leadership meeting, which is held once a year. And, you know, just as a kind of a reminder, the G20 really started up in 2009 as a result of the financial crisis worldwide. And so rather than the G7 or the G8, which had been meeting before that, they decided they needed to expand that to include more countries. So the G20 is really about 19 different countries and the EU. So it's really actually more individual countries. And the B20 is just a group of leaders who apply to be on different kinds of task force and get together by call and sometimes in person, often in conjunction with some other key meetings that are kind of international meetings. It might be the International Monetary Fund meeting. It might be the OECD meeting. And they really dive into what are the issues that could help move economic growth really for the whole world.
What's your role on it?
Well, I've had the opportunity the last 2 years to serve as a coordinating chair and then as a co-chair this past year for a new task force called the SME Development Task Force. So it's small and medium-sized enterprises. And I think what the leaders, business leaders, have realized is that it's important to have a voice for small and medium-sized enterprises. And Vermeer is a little bit larger than a small company. But, you know, I see us sort of in that medium role. And definitely many of our customers, many of our dealers, most of our dealers, in fact, and a lot of our vendors are the small and medium-sized businesses. And if we want to see them thrive, there was the thought that we need to have a bit more focus on them. It's pretty interesting that in the G20 countries, 50% of GDP comes from small and medium-sized enterprises, and two-thirds of the employment. So it's a significant entity to make sure it's getting a voice. So again, I've been involved in the last 2 years. The first year for SMEs was when it was hosted in Turkey in 2015, and then this year in China. Next year, it's going to be a bit changed, and there's going to be a cross-thematic group for SMEs. So we have still a group of folks who are going to focus on SMEs, but we're going to work more closely with each of the task forces to make sure that there's a voice for small and medium-sized businesses in each of the task forces.
Okay, and so you're not necessarily representing manufacturing, you're representing small and medium-sized businesses. I bet you're doing both at the same time.
Right. I tend to use a lot of my examples from manufacturing because that's the world I know, and small and medium-sized manufacturers are by far the biggest portion of individual companies in manufacturing in our country. And obviously, we continue to see growth opportunities or barriers for SMEs for growth. And so those are the kinds of issues we try to talk about.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the B20 Summit with Mary Andringa with the Vermeer Corporation. I presume you come up with a statement and then a presentation, and I bet there's dozens of task forces.
There's not actually that many. And for China, there were five task forces.
Is that all?
Yeah, there was one on employment, and that will continue in Germany, which is 2017 is the German presidency. Infrastructure, trade and investment, the small and medium-sized development, and then financing growth. And going into Germany, there will be five, but they're a few different. They've combined a few. They've got trade and investment, like has been on the agenda for quite a while. But they've put financing growth and infrastructure together, and that is a big one. I mean, it's a very big one. And employment and education are together. And then they've added two kind of new ones, energy, climate, and resource efficiency, and also the digital task force. So SMEs have to kind of plug into each one of those and what's important for SMEs. And, you know, just from our research, lots of research, by the way, each of the task force have a knowledge partner, which is very helpful to the task force. So they do a lot, actually, of the research and often facilitate a lot of the meetings where you get, you know, you're getting viewpoints from people from countries all over the world. And so it's pretty interesting. I have found that, I think I've realized through this whole process that it's more difficult to work with multiple countries in sort of a political kind of collaboration than I realized it was. So that's one of my takeaways just from working on these task force. But I can, you know, just give you a little sample of what our task force, the SME task mm-hmm. force, has worked on and what our key issues are and what we're going to continue to talk a lot about also in this year, in the 2017. For one thing, we have really focused on how to have a good e-commerce platform for SMEs. SMEs often are able to maybe even get banking and to get access to markets if they've got a good digital connection. So this one's going to, I think, work very nicely with that task force of digital in Germany. It's pretty interesting. The first transaction by e-commerce was done in 1995, and today we have something like $1 trillion worth in U.S. dollars done on the internet, basically. But there's a lot of things that have to be worked out. You know, we want to have safe and secure, transparent transactions, and also, you know, make sure the cost is reasonable. But for small and medium-sized businesses, using e-commerce can be the way that they can grow their business, maybe much better than other ways. However, there's some things that have to be worked out, and that's part of what the task force would work on. Another key area that we've worked on for the last 2 years and will continue to work on is financing for small and medium-sized enterprises. And I would say that still is probably the number one issue that you'd still hear from small and medium-sized businesses. We can't find financing, and particularly in countries around the world. Often there are there's a sort of a scoring system that will tend to score small and medium-sized businesses less well, so they can't get the credit they need. I mean, here at Vermeer, we've got someone who's working, you know, constantly on how to get financing for certain projects or for certain customers in different countries, in Latin America or in Africa. And it can be very difficult to get that sometimes because the banks don't want to lend money to businesses, maybe which are fairly new and don't have a track record. So financing is a big one. I mean, according to the researchers, they say that there's $3.2 to $3.9 trillion of unmet demand for credit, and a big share of that is for small and medium-sized businesses. Another big area is the global value chain, and wanting to get small and medium-sized businesses getting involved in the global chain. That means companies being able to sell their products to a larger business so that they're part of the global, the value chain, and being connected. And however, sometimes it's what's really difficult is they're not able to comply with some of the standards that the larger companies have to comply with, and therefore they can't really get into that stream and being able to sell their product or their services to others in, you know, who they would like to be able to connect with. And again, some of the research shows that if a small business is included in the global value chain, they're able to do like five times more exports than if they were not in that. So it's a significant issue for small and medium-sized businesses. Just how can they become included? And we talk a lot about capacity building. There has to be more capacity building for small and medium-sized businesses, and that means how do we skill them up? How do we give them the training? How do we help them with certifications? And when we had the Turkey B20 presidency, one of the outputs of that was a World SME Forum, which is actually located in Turkey, and it's supported by World Bank, and it's supported by the International Chamber of Commerce, and it's supported, I believe, by OECD as well. And that group is really trying to work for small and medium-sized enterprises and help the process on simplification and training on these certifications so that they can get involved in these value chains.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the B20 summit with Mary Andringa with the Vermeer Corporation. Can you give us an example, let's just say, of how Vermeer is integrated into a global value chain, or you integrate a smaller company so that we can sort of conceptualize this?
Sure. Well, like we have several local manufacturers who we buy weldments from, for instance, or machining parts. So they would be probably, some of them fairly small, maybe 20 okay. people or whatever, and we buy from them. We use their products in our products and then are able to sell it internationally. So, yeah, in that sense, we okay. would be part of the chain where we would have suppliers coming into our global value chain.
All right, so you're sort of top of the tier in terms of, you know, organizations.
Yeah,
that do this.
I mean, there's obviously much larger companies than Vermeer that would have many more vendors who would be into their chain, like a Caterpillar would have, mm-hmm. and a Boeing. They would have a lot of small businesses contributing into their business, and if a smaller company is selling, let's say, precision hardware. I know I've got some friends in manufacturing who are in the aircraft industry, and it's very precision nuts and bolts and fasteners for, you know, aircrafts and things. Well, they're in the Boeing value chain, for instance. When they're in that and they are able to sell to Boeing or to the other aircraft companies, then their products are probably exported all over the world and being used all over the world. If they don't connect with some of those larger companies, they may not have that opportunity.
Okay, what else were you going to share?
Well, there's one other key thing that we have had on our bucket list to keep in front of the G20 leaders is regulations, and for small and medium-sized businesses to be able to do business in an easier way. The regulatory environment is a tough one, and I know manufacturers, we did a big research project on this a year and a half ago, and it showed that a small manufacturer is going to have to pay three times the amount per employee to comply with regulations than a larger company, just because you don't have as many people to spread those costs around, but you've still got the costs. And in some of the B20 research, they talk about 10 to 30 times higher compliance costs for small and medium-sized companies. So that's a big deal, and it's really a barrier, again, just for small and medium-sized businesses to grow, to be able to really get involved in the way that maybe they would like to be. You know, I think often that the whole regulatory environment, and this is not just, this is true in the U.S., it's maybe even worse in other countries. I mean, it's certainly just an issue worldwide. And again, this is what the B20 tries to do. Look at what are the issues that are pertinent to all the, not only the G20 countries, but countries that aren't part of the G20, but are part of our world economy. So one of the things which I think is maybe the most hopeful thing that may pass, that would be something the B20 has been talking about for several years, it's the Trade Facilitation Act, TFA. And it is something that we need high percentage, I think 80% of all WTO countries to sign on for. The United States has signed on to this. And right now, I think there are 94 countries, and we need something like 108 to 110 countries to sign on. So there's a lot of focus on how do we get a few more countries to continue to sign on, because it would reduce cost, and for SMEs in particular, 12 to 18%, and they've done quite a bit of estimates on this, and it would reduce complexity, and it would be just easier to transport goods from one country to another. So TFA is one that has been a high priority among the B20, and it would certainly be a great initiative to have finalized for our SMEs in particular. When I talk to, I just was at a dealership in Sweden on the way actually to Hangzhou, and he now has the opportunity to sell in Norway as well. And he's had to hire key people to do a lot of work just to figure out the differences in how to get goods from Sweden up to Norway. And there's just a lot of complexities in being able to do commerce globally, and for SMEs, it's even more complex because they don't have the people in their workforce to be able to maybe handle this kinds of complexity and the compliance that we have. At Vermeer, we've got, I think, four people that work just on export and import compliance. We didn't have those people before 2000. Now we've grown, and we're doing more business outside the United States, but we've had to put on people. Not everybody can do that.
What's the most important take-home point that you'd like for our listeners to get today about this?
Well, I'd say one of the important things is that the world economy is in a slow growth mode right now. I think it's 3%. And something like 2.7% in global trade in growth. And in the last 50 years, there have only been about 5 years where global trade is at a 2% level. And every time that happened, we dipped down into a negative situation. And so 2015 was 2%. This year, I think it's 2.7%. So when we have low global growth and low trade growth, those are not good things to try to have thriving economies. So for one thing, and we heard this from many of the G20 leaders and leaders of the IMF and World Bank, how important it is to let people know that trade is good and it is important. Certainly there might be things we need to tweak to make sure trade is good for everyone, but we will have more growth in all of our economies if we have more trade. So that would be one thing. And the other thing is that the digital economy is here. It's not going to change, and we have to get used to it. And one of the key leaders from World Bank, Mr. Kim, made the point that for all of us in business, we need to make sure we are spending time and effort in making sure we're skilling up our team members and the workforce for the future to use technology, because it's here. It's not going to go away. So I think the two huge takeaways are we do need trade for global economies to thrive, and we do have to understand the importance of technology for all of our companies and for our workforce.
Thanks to Mary Andringa for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.